Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise to the Most High God of Israel. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, all praises, man. The Father is merciful. Once again, I want to thank the Father for allowing us to be here this day. Today, we are dealing with the Pentecost, the power of the Jubilee. The Pentecost, the power of the Jubilee. What do you mean? What is the Jubilee? And for some of us that call ourselves servants of God or believers of God or believers in the Bible, never heard of these things that's even in the Bible, you know, let alone trying to perform them or even know how to understand why they should be kept. This is that thing, right? So we're going to get into that. We really need to get into that. Why? Because this is exactly what we are to do. We are supposed to research the scriptures and to make sure that those things that we read and see are true. You see, so this is that thing. So, amen. Amen. So we all good. Everything's up and running. We looking good. Praise God. Let's get started. We're gonna stand and face Jerusalem. If we can, we're gonna ask our brothers first if you can uncover your head. As we approach the Father. And our sisters, we're going to ask you to cover your heads as we approach the Father, as we stand and face the rules. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us to keep them. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and my brother and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but the light and blessing is because they see a light and countenance upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy. Send forth your Holy Spirit and and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And the mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them to hear us. And send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well, that they too may receive a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And the mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies and do it forever. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to another episode of the Sound of the Wise Ones. Again, I'm Joel Israel. I've come in to ministry Bible study class. And today we are still dealing with some feast days, man, because they are happening as we speak. Yesterday was the Super the second Passover. You know, those of us that actually keep the feast according to the new moon, which is within the spring equinox, those of us that do that, well, right here, you will see that exactly 30 days later, you're going to find yourself at the second Passover, as we should. That was yesterday. Well, tonight is the super moon. Tonight is the full moon, which is on the 15th day of the second month, which is exactly the exact same thing, which is the 15th day of the first month. You will have a full moon. So those of us that do keep the feast according to those cycles, well, there's a witness in heaven right now that you're on point. Not to throw bricks or nothing like that at our brothers. We all trying, and we all trying to get there, you know, and our understanding. And one brother said something to me a long time ago, man. A Gentile, he said this to me. And he said, hey, we in the season. You know, as long as we trying and we in the season, we get it right because we in the season. My take is, if you here, you're a long way from Christmas. And I'm okay with that. That means you're getting closer and closer to the truth, so I have no problem with that. As you can see here today, last night, like I said, is the second Passover. And those of us that didn't get a chance to take the Passover, we were given another opportunity to take the Passover according to Numbers. When God spoke with us, and there were some of us that we couldn't take the Passover because we were unclean because of the reason of the dead. And so he gave us the law according to how to take the second Passover, which is last night, you know. And to be honest about it, I'm really starting to see that we're supposed to keep the second Passover like we keep the first one. That means to say we got to eat unleavened bread 7 days. Because he said you got to keep it after that manner, you know. And that manner is that you eat unleavened bread for 7 days. If you couldn't do it the first time, Jack, then you got to do it this time, and you got to do it according to that cycle, right? Amen. So some of us, we just take the Passover and keep it pushing. No. We got to start looking at the fact that, we got to keep the second Passover like we keep the first one. If you weren't able to keep the first Passover, you know, with unleavened bread, for 7 days, then you got to do it the second month for 7 days. I'm really starting to see that, and I'm really going to believe that. I'm starting to believe that. So from my understanding, next season, those of us that don't make that first Passover, I'm going to encourage everyone to keep that feast for 7 days, just like any other feast. So let's get started. Let's get started. Let's open this up in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, and this is where all the feast days are located. This is where all the feast days are spoken of, and this is that thing. But we aren't the Jubilee, believe it or not, it's not in Leviticus 23. The Pentecost is. That's why we're here. Because of the Pentecost.
because the Pentecost kick off the Jubilee, you see. And then if you really pay attention to the Jubilee, it'll lead and guide you to the prophetic calendar. The Jubilee is the power of the prophetic calendar. We're going to deal with that tomorrow. Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to get all the way into that. Because I don't think, you know, we really take the Jubilee. I think we blase a lot. You know, if I teach you don't talk about it or deal with it, we'll go right through it and we don't even try to deal with it. You know, because we just, the less we know, the better off we are, or the less we, you know, it's just one of the things, man. But no, the Pentecost is a big feat, right? And we're going to prove that. We're going to show that. It's more than just people getting the Holy Ghost and falling out. And, you know, we got whole institutions named after this feast. You know, the Feast of Weeks, actually, but in the Greek, it's referred to as the Pentecost. You know, and you got whole so-called Christian doctrines built off of this madness, you know, of gibberish and things like that. And the law isn't about gibberish or foolishness or just running off into a mindless state of mind. The Word of God is all about knowledge, reasoning, and truth. And so much that he said, I'd rather teach with 5 words of understanding than 10,000 words or how many other words was just gibberish. This is that thing, right? So let's get started. Leviticus 23:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord. Now, this is something that we got to be mindful of, the feast of the Lord. And it says this, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation in their feast. Even these are my feasts. Even these are my feasts. So this is that thing. So the first one we pick up here is in 23. 6 days were shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You should do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord and all your dwellings. Well, no matter where we are able to keep the Sabbath day. I don't care what part of the world you're in. He knew that we were going to be in captivity, and he knew that we would be able to read these things eventually. And so what we're going to do is that we're going to go get into this another part of the world and say, we can't keep the laws of God because they're, you know, we're in another man's land and it's too difficult. No, you can do whatever you want to do. How you can say I can do all things in Christ Jesus, then you can't keep the law in someone else's land? And I have to say that you have a faith issue. Big time. Anyway, it says this, these are my feasts, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their season. Well, let's skip down. And we're going to pick it up here in Leviticus 23:9. Because we pick up the wave offering. The wave offering is the power of the Pentecost. The Pentecost is the power of the Jubilee. Watch this. In 23:9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you be coming to the land which I give you, you shall reap the harvest thereof, and you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest. And you shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall weigh. This is a wave offering. He said, these are my feasts. Now we got these Johnny come lately that's bigger than God, who's got more understanding than the Most High God, telling us that we ain't got to perform these things anymore. But guess what? These same people got the wave offering all over the place. All because we are not performing it. If we perform it, we see it. Anyway, he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord on to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath of the sheaf. The priest shall wave it. That was Jesus after he rose from the dead. He woke up on the Sabbath day, and on the first day of the week, he said, touch me not, for I've not been I have not been, I have to be accepted of your father. So touch me not. He had to be weighed. When? Tomorrow after the Sabbath. That's when he was weighed. That's why he told Mary, don't touch me. I got to go. Right? But then he went, got weighed, came back on the first day of the week as the scripture said. That was St. John. That's St. John chapter 20. You see, so we need to read that. Let's go look at it. Just bring it in. Just bring it in the picture, right? Let's bring it into the picture. St. John 20:1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark in the sepulchre to see that the stone was taken away. Now, this is the wave offering right here because Jesus died like three days earlier. This is now the fourth day. 3 days ago, he was sacrificed. Now he's up and moving around, and now he's about to be accepted before God. But this is the first day of the week. This is the wave offering. This is what we just got to read in Leviticus chapter 23 and 9, 19 and 11. This is this part right here. And then you go into, skip down a little bit, and it says this. I'm going to pick it up at verse 15, and Jesus saith unto her, woman, he's talking to Mary. He said, woman, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Like he don't know. She supposed him to be a gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. For I have not yet ascended unto my father's seat. They're going to wave off from on the first day after the Sabbath. There it is, according to verse 1. But watch this. But go to my brother and say unto them, I ascend unto my father and to your father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came to the disciples, came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and he has spoken these things on her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, see, you see how John made sure that anybody that's watching the law understand that this is the wave offering because this is the first Sabbath. This is the first day after the Sabbath during the week of unleavened bread. Somehow we didn't got 3 days and three nights in the law. I don't know where that's at. Until you can find that or read that to me, to me, it's just a sign. And signs don't change the law. Signs do not change the law. The law is the law. A sign can be come and go. Prophecies are signs. They come and go. So we can't hang our hats on something that can come and go. The law is eternal. We can't hang our hat on a sign seeing that the Lord tell you that's prophecy. Prophecy can come and go. They will diminish. They'll disappear. The law will never disappear. So how is this wave offering happen to be 3 days and three nights? I don't know. Because there's no law that says it. None. It's not a law in the law that says that we have to keep it 3 days and three nights. It's not there. And I got $100. If anybody can give me 3 days and three nights in the law, Leviticus 23, it's yours. And it says this. So now we said, then 19, then the same day being evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus in the midst, stood in the midst and stood unto them, peace be unto you. See? That's that thing. So he went and was accepted, and now he's back. He was waived. He was accepted of the Father. The first resurrection is kicked off because he did the thing, right? So let's get into this. So when he had said so, he had showed them his hands and his sides, and his disciples were glad, and they saw the Lord. Okay, now let's get back to that Leviticus chapter 23. Right? So let's pick that back up at verse 11. And he said, and you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be as for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. What do you mean? Because on the morrow after the Sabbath, that's when Jesus was accepted. That's why he said, touch me not. That's why he said the first day of the week being dark. He said, I go before your God. This is that conversation 11 and 12 that he had with Moses when he was talking to Moses on the mountain. This is that thing. Now we got more understanding than Moses. Oh, God help us, Jesus. Please save us from our pride. Anyway, the meat offering thereof, a two-tenth deal, and fine flour mingled. The offering is made by fire unto the Lord. Oh, and it's made by fire too, right? But he gave it. He got it. He got it good. And it was a burnt offering. He said, unto the fire, and he said, unto the Lord, made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor and a drink offering. Therefore shall be of wine, a fourth pin, a fourth part of hen. So this way, Bible said, you shall eat neither bread nor popcorn, neither green ear, until the self same day you have brought the offering unto your God. What? That was your holy convocation. How do you get here and say there's no holy convocation? He said, you come before your God. You don't get no holier than that. And then he says in verse 14, it says, be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Get around that. You got some of us saying, I wave off, and you ain't got to keep that. You know, that's they ain't, we ain't doing this, and we ain't got the priesthood. That was for the priests. You know, we're just finding excuses just because we don't have understanding on something. Instead of saying, show us. You know, it's justifying ignorance. Justifying ignorance. How do we get to that? How do we justify any kind of ignorance in this matter anyway? And it goes on. It says, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. Remember now, that's the, that was the first day then, right? That was the point that they started counting 50 days. John 20, that's when they started numbering 50 days from there. You see? So this is this conversation. John 20 and 1 is here. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheep of the wave offering, that the Sabbath shall be complete. Even on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be number 50 days, and you shall bring a new meat offering unto the Lord your God. Now, this is called the Feast of Weeks. Why? Because we got 7 weeks have to be determined here from the wave offering. Plus one. That gives you 50. You see? This is that thing. That gets you 50. So now he said, and you should number 50 days, you should eat a new meat offering. Watch this. You should bring out your habitation 2 wave loaves or 2 tenth deals, and it should be a fine flour baking with leaven. They are the first fruit unto the Lord. So now, the Pentecost point to the first resurrection. What do you mean? We're not getting all off in the Pentecost because we covered that. We covered that with the wave offering being the power of the Pentecost. Now, you're dealing with the Pentecost being the power of the Jubilee. Wait a minute. All these things are conjunction, and you telling me that we ain't supposed to keep the wave offering. The wave offering bring us to this, to the first fruits. You'll never see it because you witness sin against it. You'll never see it. You got to be careful. You know, if you witness sin against this, you won't see the first fruits because you're saying they don't exist because the wave offering ain't no more. Even I got Hebrew Israelites telling me, oh, you ain't got to do that no more. The priesthood ain't set up no more. What? You sound like a Sunday Christian talking about the Sabbath day is no more. Or some lawless person saying, we ain't got to keep any of that stuff. You know, I'm under grace. Yeah, you do. But then again, some of us don't care about understanding. Some of us don't care about knowledge and things like that because we're full of ourselves, right? We're full of ourselves. We're full of our pride. We got all kind of things going on here. Why? Because we think we're smarter than the law. And then when somebody try to bring something up the law, if my pastor don't say, then it ain't law. I'm still waiting on a one man. I'm waiting on somebody to show me that one man know everything about God. I'm waiting. Because the law said we see in part and hear in part. So I'm waiting. And I'm not going to call the book a lie. I'm not. So anyway, it says this. So now you got the first fruit. What do you mean? They are the first fruit. Wait a minute. So let's look at this. Let's read this right quick. Let's read into this to show that this is really spiritual. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. And we're going to pick it up there. And it says this. No, I'm going to pick it up a little higher. I'm picking up at 1. Yeah, I'm picking up at 1. It says this, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What do you mean? You mean tell me, man, that you can, this could be nothing to you? You could be an elect, this could be nothing. Okay. And it says this. It says, for I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Right. That's what we just got to read. Matthew chapter 29, Matthew 28 said he rose on the Sabbath day. Daniel's chapter, well, let's go look at that. According to scripture, it says, let's read this part. It says, and he was buried, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Let's go to Daniel's. Let's get that in there. According to the scriptures. Daniel's, right? Daniel's chapter 9:26. Even the God of Israel showed Daniel that he was going to be in the ground for 3 days and three nights, man. He loved Daniel this much that he showed him this. Daniel chapter 9:26. He said, after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come and destroy, shall come to come destroy. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So it says this, after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. Well, they're going to Messiah. So we know this is Jesus, those of us that do believe in the Messiah. And then it's here, and it's at verse 29. It says this, it said, verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. Now, when he died, the veil of the temple rent in half. So, when did that take place? In the middle of the week. When is the middle of the week? Wednesday, coming and going, right? So you go in there and say Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, three nights, Thursday, Friday, Sabbath day, 3 days. And as it begins to dawn towards the first day of the week, that brings us here. Matthew chapter 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, it wasn't quite there yet, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. See, they came first, and then they went back and told the disciples, and they came again. Now, and it said, behold, there was a great earthquake, and for the angel of the Lord had this. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became a dead man. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen, as he has said, come to see the place where the Lord lay. Confirmation. Paul confirmed this in Daniel chapter 9:27. And he also confirmed Matthew chapter 24. as the scriptures said. So he was talking about Daniel. It wasn't no such thing as Matthew. He was talking about Daniel in the midst of the week. He was talking about that scripture. You see, also Jonas, right? Being in the ground or in the whale belly for 3 days and three nights, right? Okay, so this is that thing. This is only a sign that he was a Messiah. This don't change the ways off and off. It just shows that this whole thing was going to play out perfectly. Right, so now we see all of this is here. So now let's go back to that 1 Corinthians and pick it back up at 15. So now we got all this together. It says, verse 3, For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And we'll see the Caiaphas, another 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. And it says in verse 7, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. What do you mean? Because remember now, you got the first resurrection supposed to take place. But Christ is the first resurrection. Christ is the first resurrection. He is the first born of many brothers. That's why he said, I have to be weighed. He was the first one born out of due time. But there is a such thing as a first resurrection coming. But right here, it says he was born out of due time. Why? Because he's the wave offering. The wave offering is verse 8. Now, I'm going to skip down to verse 20. And it says this. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. What do you mean? They go to Pentecost. You got the wave offering and you got the Pentecost right here. The first fruit at his coming. Wait a minute. So what is his coming? Then cometh the end. Wait a minute. So this is going to be the end. Wait a minute. Hold on. So watch this. He said at his coming. So we're not going to get all off into that. Let's get down to verse. Let's look at his coming. let's get down to verse 50. And it says this, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There it is. When he said that, the first fruit, he said, and when he was talking about that, he said here. He was talking about at the last trump. The last trump, the dead in Christ is going to wake up at the last trump. Well, we got to ask this question. How many trumps are there? Because it could be 1,000. You know, we could be waiting forever. It could be 1 billion, you know. So the question is, how many trumpets got to be blown before the first resurrection takes place? Well, let's look at that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 8. And it says this, 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. So we see now that there's seven trumpets have to be blown. That's what has to take place. Then at the seventh trump, the dead in Christ is going to wake up. Really? Well, yeah. Watch this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. And let's pick it up at 15. Revelation 11 and 15, And it says this. The seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. See, the seventh angel sounded. The seventh trump blew. Now here comes God. Remember now, remember Paul said, then the end comes. Then the end come. When? At the seventh trump. The end come. The end of what? Of this world as we know it. And the 24 elders were set before God and were set before God on their seats, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which are, which was, and art to come, because thou hast taken thee to thee thy great power and has reigned. The nations were angry, thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, from Adam all the way to Malachi, to the saints, which would be the disciples, and all of them that was before them. And then they fear thy name, both small and great, and should destroy them which destroyed the earth. There it is. Then cometh the end, right? This is the end of the world as we know it. Here comes God at the seventh trump. He said, the temple of God was open, and I saw the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple, the ark of his testament, there were lightning, voices, thundering, earthquakes, and great hail. Now you're not going to heaven. Now with this going on. Anyway, it says this. So he said, wrath has come. The time of the dead that they should be judged. What do you mean the time of the dead? The first resurrection. Why? Because that took place at the seventh trump. Watch this. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. It says this, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, let me read this 16 again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Not the great white throne judgment. The dead in Christ shall rise first. These are the first fruit. The dead in Christ are the first fruit, right there, verse 16. See that? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What will comfort one another with these words? Look at here. He said, with the trump of God, the last trump. The last trump. We saw that the angel there in Revelation chapter 8, he was given seven trumpets to blow. But we see here, this last trumpet is going to be blown. When? Resurrection. When? Pentecost. Remember when I asked about the first fruit? The first fruits come up in the first resurrection. That's the Pentecost. This sound, this trumpet is blowing on Pentecost. People say, ah, the trump blowing all of these days. Nah, this is a whole different deal, man. This is a big one. This trumpet here is way bigger than that. This is big. This wake up the dead, Jack. This wake up the dead. Let's look at this a little first. So, just said, with the trump of God and the dead of Christ shall rise first. All right? So now we got the first fruits right here in verse 4 and 16. Now let's go back to Leviticus 23, right? Because remember now, Leviticus 23 is bringing us to the first resurrection through the wave offering. You see? Now, Leviticus 23, and what do we leave off at? Let's see. Okay, let's pick it back up at 15. And you shall count unto you from tomorrow after the Sabbath, and you, from the day that you brought the sheep of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. 7 times 7 is, well, let me not do that, because my mouth is horrid. But, you know, this is why I do use calculators, man. And it works pretty good for me. I'm good for that. Let's see. 7 times 7 equals 49. Right. Okay, so 7 times 7 is 49 plus 1 is 50. That's why you got that. That's why you got 50 here. That's why he said that here. That's why he's talking about you're going to number tomorrow 7 Sabbath, and he should bring you the number 50 days. And you shall offer a new offering unto the Lord, and you shall bring out of your habitation 2 loaves of 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They should be of fine flour. They should be baking with leaven, and they are the first fruits unto the Lord. But yes, 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 we understand that leavening is sin. But then, did not the apostle and the prophet say, there is none that doeth good and sinneth not? So we're going to have that leavening. You want to tell me that David didn't have no leavening? Tell me Moses didn't have no leavening. We know Adam had leavening, Eve, and Abraham, and Joseph. All of us had leavening. All of us had leavening. All of us got leavening. But the thing is, like, I try to keep all my brothers and sisters encouraged by telling them, keep your sins at a minimum. Yes, there's none that doeth good and sin them not. But that don't mean you go running through a brothel and just knock off everything up in there. That ain't how you do that. It says this. It says, and you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 bullock, 2 rams to be for burnt offerings unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goat for sin offering, 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit for a wave offering before the Lord with 2 lambs. They shall be holy unto the Lord for the priest. Why? Because those that come up in the first resurrection are going to be what? 20. For the priest. Let's go and look at that. Go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Revelation 1 and 6, and it says this. I'm picking up at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto whom that loved us, washed us from our sin in his own blood, has made us unto our God kings and priests. Let me read that again. Has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There it is. For priests. Right? Those that come up in the first resurrection are going to be priests. Yeah. That's all to it. Fact 5. Let's go to 5 and verse 11. In fact, I'm going to pick it up at verse 9. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Why? Because the Melchizedek priesthood, or this priesthood, isn't about lineage, Jack. When you come up out the ground, it ain't about Levi. It ain't about Judah. It's about Melchizedek. That's what it's about. Melchizedek priesthood. You are no longer a lineage in this world. You're part of that lineage. And he said, I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about. Wait a minute, I'm skipping stuff. It says, verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. What?
This is what the first fruit, this is what the Pentecost pointed toward, the first resurrection. Yes. And those that come up in the first resurrection are going to be what? Kings and priests. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. This is why we keep the Pentecost, because this is that conversation. Revelation 20 and verse 1. Why not? Okay, Revelation 21, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years be fulfilled. After that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God that in which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. First fruits. First fruits. This is the Pentecost. This is what the Pentecost represents right here, the first resurrection. First fruits. After Christ the first fruit, after that day that are Christ at his coming, they shall be raised first at his coming right here. See that? This is the first resurrection. Why? Because he said here, he said, the blessed holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ who shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this is that thing. So now we got the first fruit with the wave offering. Conjunction, and now we sitting up here talking about, you know, you ain't got to keep the wave offering. Well, you just X'd out Jesus, man. You just X'd out the wave offering that brought you to this point. How do you do that? How can we do that according to the law, right? Excuse me. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into, let's go back into the Thessalonians now. I'm going to read that again because that's a good catch right here. Watch this. Thessalonians chapter 1 and 4. No, Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. And it says this, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, seven trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Revelation chapter 20. In verse 6, this is the first resurrection. There it is. So now we see what the first fruit is. That takes place here. This verse 16 is the Pentecost all day long. This is what it's about. But it says this. Let's go back into Acts. Because everybody want to go to Acts and say, you know, they want to. Actually, they belittle this scripture, man. Actually, they belittle and take away from it because they want to justify speaking that nonsense and all that gibberish and foolishness, man, and take away from the power of this whole script. And it says this, it says, Acts 2 and 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. See that? So now this is the feast of week. Pentecost represents 50, right? The day of Pentecost, 50. The day of skipping was fully come, because remember now, according to the law, you should number seven Sabbath plus one. This is it, two and one. So, everybody get caught up on the tongues and this, that, that's weakness. We ain't dealing with that. We ain't even dealing with that, because if that's what you want to believe, have at it. I ain't going to try to convince you to not believe. Go to y'all, take that with you. Me, God, with it. I don't care. Anyway, I'm out of here. Let me keep on reading. Let me skip down. Let's see. We're going to skip down to verse 20 minutes.
Yeah, here it is right here. 2:18. It says, no, uh-uh. 2:16, it says this, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, that's happening all over the world right now, and the whole world is starting to pick up on it, and they start to see who the children of Israel is, because they start to see that, oh, man, they know the book. They know the book for what it's really saying. We're not just giving you a hallelujah and some funky dance and falling all out. That ain't what we do. We ain't justifying that madness by saying David did that. No, he did not. David just danced before God, but he didn't fall all out. He didn't speak in tongues and all that nonsense. He didn't do that. So don't put him on that. He ain't that man. And if anybody would have did that, he would have had somebody kill him or threw that dude out into a cage or something. That would have never happened before King David. Anyway, it says this. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel, and that shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Speak in tongues. Prophesy. Wait a minute. I thought that this was, you know, this whole thing in Acts, the second chapter, was about speaking in tongues. No, they prophesy. In the last days, we're going to speak into prophesy. See visions. Dream dreams. Not gibberish. Relying on the scriptures. Justifying ignorance. I ain't got no problem. That's what you want to do. That's your baby. Have at it. I'm just telling you, we don't believe in that nonsense. So you can go and listen to that. And if you do, please stay away from me. Because I don't want that. I don't want that spirit on me. I want this on me. I want the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of vision, the spirit of dream, the spirit of the Holy Ghost that bring these things. And all my servants and all my handmaids, I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall know, they shall prophesy. Like we're doing right now. The first resurrection. We prophesying. That's what it said. Comfort ye one another with these words. Prophesy. Comfort ye one another with these words. Comfort. Comfort ye one another with these words. This is that thing. So this is what we're doing. We're trying to show you that the wave offering, the Pentecost, is prophecy. And it's prophetic. And now we are prophesying the law through the feast days. Get to that. Get to that. You ain't heard me say one thing about no tie my bow tie, tie my bow tie, tie my bow tie, because that ain't going to get you across the street. At all. None of that ain't going to get you across the street, because it ain't going to have nothing to do with Leviticus chapter 23. But then again, if you're simple and plain, then I guess that's what you would do, because you have nothing else to deceive the people other than sorcery. Bewitchment. I guess that would be what it is, because that's all it is sorcery. To me, that's a lie. Anyway, the sun shall be darkened, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. There it is. Remember now, he blew the trumpet at the seventh trump. He said, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord. Revelation called it the wrath of God, that he was going to take vengeance on the world for them to destroy the earth. He's going to take vengeance on them. You see, so he said, this is what's going to take place here. He said, it's going to be blood, fire, vapors of smoke, and nothing. Nothing there about no speaking in no tie my bow tie. This give you act right. That other stuff give you a sensationalism. All it is. And if I want sensationalism, I'll turn on Netflix. Aside from that, if I want the truth, uncut, I keep it to this. So, now we see that the Pentecost is pointing, this Acts chapter 2, that the Pentecost is actually pointing toward the coming of the Lord, right? And he said that that great day of the Lord is come. Let's look at that. Let's go to Joel. Let's read some of that. Let's read a little bit of that so that we can go into the Jubilee. Remember now, the Jubilee is in this conversation. We just haven't gotten to it yet. But it's coming. Hold on, hold on. Joel chapter 3 and it says it's 3:1. Watch this. Behold, in those days and at that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. See, he going to deliver us. I'm going to bring the captivity of Judah. I'm going to deliver you. This is what he said here. So this is a deliverance coming in that day. This is what he said what was coming in Joel. That's Peter. He said this. And he said, and I will gather all nations. I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Megiddo, Armageddon, Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. This is that thing. It says, I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So this is all about him. So he's talking about taking back the land, right? And the people, right? He said, you sold, he said, and you have cast lots upon my people. You have given a boy for a harlot. You sold a girl for wine and all this type of stuff. So the people have been sold off into captivity. They don't have no power. And then he said this, and then you stole my land, and we don't have the power to take it back. So he's coming back with that through the law. Watch this. I'm going to skip down to verse 13. He said, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe, and get you down, for the press is full. The fat overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Better know it. And it says this, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion. So he is back. There were the resurrection. There were the first fruit. Everybody's here now, right? Because this is the first resurrection. This took place. This is the Pentecost right here. So he's back. We're not finishing this up here. We just showing you that this is something that's going to happen. Watch this. He said, then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through it anymore. And it's going to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and the rivers of Judah shall be flow with water, and the fountains shall come forth to the house of the Lord, and shall the water the valleys of Shittim. So, watch this. Let's go back to Leviticus 23, right? Couple of more scripts after this, because remember now, I told you we're going to be back here tomorrow because we're going to break down the Jubilee part. Because remember now, you got a Jubilee that's up in here. And that's the thing that we got to really pay attention to, because remember now, Jubilee takes place, and that's a time window. That put us on the prophetic calendar clock. That actually confirms the feast calendar. The Jubilee confirms the feast calendar. And we are so busy trying to be right instead of looking at what's being said. Let's look at that. Leviticus 23 and verse 20. That's where we left off at. And the priest that raised them was the bread of the first fruit. That's it. And what do you mean the priest shall wave? That's Jesus. He's going to wave those that come up in the first fruit before the Lord, the Father, and they're going to be accepted for the Father, and they're going to be kings and priests with, of God and Christ forever. And it says this, you shall proclaim in that self-same day that ye, that it may be a holy convocation only you. Why? Because he said, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. Right. And you shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your daughters throughout your generations. Well, why we understand that in 21, that it says it's going to be a statute forever throughout your generations. But then when it comes to 14, and you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ear until the self-same day you have brought an offering unto your God, and it should be a statute forever throughout your generation and all your blood. But we don't understand that. Or are we picking and choosing what we want to see from God? Or do we want to justify somebody else's blindness?
Yeah, I said that.
I mean, I love my L's all day, man, but ain't no way in the world I'm going to sit up and say, I'm gonna put my trust, my salvation in the hand of a man that can lose his salvation today. If I can't read it, it ain't going down. So you can't give me 3 days and three nights as a law because I can't read it. To the law and the testimony, if it's not to the law and the testimony, ain't no light in it. And if there ain't no light in it, it's darkness. Flat out. That's what it is. So anyway, so now we got this right here, right? So now, what do you mean a trumpet's going to be blown on the Sabbath? Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's look at that. Let's go into Leviticus chapter 25. Let's pick it up at verse 1. Watch this. And the Lord is still talking to Moses. He's letting him know, man, pay attention. Moses is writing this down, and he's giving it to Moses, man. Look at what he's saying. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shall thy soul, thy field, 6 years shall thou prune thy vineyard and gather the fruit thereof. But the seventh year is the Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall neither sow nor thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. You mean to tell me, man, that the God of Israel, after you work for 6 years, right, you get a whole year off? I mean, I'm going to get a whole year off. Now, whoa. It ain't like I just worked 6 years straight, like Monday through Sunday. You know what I mean? And then went back to work Monday. Like I'm working 7. No. Whoa. Here it is. You see, every week you get a weekend. You get a week the Sabbath day off. That's a hands down. That's automatic. Then you got the feast days in between time and the meantime. That's up in there too. So it's not like you're not getting the off days there. In fact, if you add the feast days up, you're not really even working. You're probably working maybe a third of a year, maybe at best, right? At best, a third. And then he's going to give you a year off. After 6 years, you're going to get a whole year off. And we got a problem with this law. Yeah, we got a problem with the law. You know, when people tell me, man, that old Sabbath man is turning away with it, and I read them something like this and break it down, I say, now, let me ask you something. Would you rather have a week off or would you rather have a year off? Which one of these sound better to you? Of course, if you are a slave, that sounds way better than you. If you're rich, well, that's not going to work for you because you don't want nobody to be off. But then again, there it is. Now you know what you are, slaves, right? Anyway, the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you and for thee and for thy servant, for thy maid, for thy hired servant, the stranger that sojourn with. There were your white people, there were your Hamites, there were your Asians, there were your Arabians, right here. Anyone that want to keep the feast days with you, and they all circumcised, they believe in these things, they participate in these things, they sound. Can't knock them. They fail. Whoever they with, they gonna be a part of that clique. They no longer gonna be Arabs. They gonna be Levi, Judah, Benjamin. They gonna be living amongst us. Anyway, it says this, according to Ezekiel chapter 47. Go read it. And it says this, and for thy cattle, for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all increase be for me. Thou shalt number seven Sabbath of years unto thee. So now we went from seven Sabbaths, but now we seven Sabbaths of years now. Now remember the Pentecost in Leviticus chapter 23 said number 7 weeks, right? But now we see 7 years. It said number seven Sabbath of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years in the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. See, all of these days is all locked in. How you going to deny the waves offering? How you kicking that to the curb? And it kicks off this. You going to kick the wave offering to the curb, and you going to miss this memo, and you going to miss the wave offering, and you going to get to this. You're not getting it. You're trying to climb over the wall. That's what he said. You're trying to climb over the wall. He said this. He said, verse 9, and thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land, and you shall hollow the 50th year, proclaim liberty throughout all the land, and unto all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, every man unto his family. Why in the jubilee? Because that's when everybody gets delivered. Everybody gets free from captivity. If you're not, I mean, you don't get free one way or the other. Either you're gonna be free from society as we know it, or not only are you gonna be free from society, but you're going to get free from this flesh, and you're going to be turned into him. You're going to be delivered from this body of death. You're going to be turned into God. You know, this body is going to be changed into him. When? On the Pentecost of years, which is the Jubilee. What still happened to time, which just so happened to sound off on the atonement? Wait a minute. So the seventh trump that the Lord was talking about in Revelation chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is talking about this, the atonement. The trumpet is going to sound on the atonement. Why? Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 24 in verse 1. Now, I'm just going to skip around a little bit just to bring everybody up to speed. So this is Jesus. He's sitting up in Matthew 24 in verse 1. And he said, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see not ye all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall be not thrown down. So that killed that willing wall, because else he lied. And God can't lie. So what wall is that? Well, if you look at history, that's Jupiter. That was built in 115, 130 something. A.D., after Jesus, after Rome passed the law that we wasn't able to come back to Jerusalem, they built the temple of Jupiter there. That's what everybody's welling up against right now. That's it. Anyway, we ain't doing it. That's another conversation. I'm just telling you, this scripture is solid. Anyway, I'm going to skip down, and it says this. I'm going to skip down to verse 27. He says this. He said, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
And whatsoever the carcass is, there the eagles shall be got together. There it is. That's Armageddon. Valley of Megiddo. The Valley of Decision. All this conversation is all one conversation. Look here, but remember now, the trumpet is going to be blown on the trump, on the atonement. Why? Watch this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall the appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Yeah. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet. There it is. 31 is Leviticus chapter 25. This is the atonement, people. This is the jubilee, people. This is it right here. This is it. It says this, and he shall send his angel with a great voice of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. Now learn a parable of the fig, when the branches yet tender, and put forth his leaves, and you shall know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Even so, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. See that? My word shall not pass away. He said, but of that day and hour no man knoweth, but it said, no man, not even the angels, but my Father only. But in those days, but as those days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Why? Listen very carefully. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, but they're supposed to be fasting because 38 is the atonement. He's telling you, they're not going to be keeping the atonement. They're going to be eating and drinking, marrying, you know. And the book tell you, Paul tell you, what is that, 1 Corinthians chapter 7? He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, you're not even supposed to have sex with your wife if she's fasting. Or she's not supposed to have sex with you while you fasting. You see, so this is that thing. So you're not supposed to be having sex on the atonement. You're supposed to be still. Why? Because if you knew God, then you would be, right? It says, and they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah had entered into the ark. And knew not that the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating and drinking on the atonement, and the Lord killed them. Eating and drinking. Right. What do you mean? Remember that? He said, in that day it's going to be fire and smoke, right? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66 and 15. Isaiah 66 and 15. And it says this. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariot like a whirlwind. There it is. There goes Joel. He was talking about that. Peter was talking about this. Now look what he said. Like a whirlwind, and rending his anger with fury, and his rebuke with the flame of fire. For by fire and with his sword was the Lord pleased with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many, like in the days of Noah. They that sanctify themselves, not him, purify themselves in the garden behind one tree, Satan, eating swine's flesh. Some of us justify eating swine's flesh among the world and among the wicked, talking about, because they read got some misunderstanding about talking about how somebody see you eating clean in the temple or something like that. So they justifying eating pig. Wicked. Anyway, he said this. He said, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, in the abomination, in the mouth, shall be consumed together, says the Lord. Why? because he's coming, and they're eating and drinking. And not only that, you still got people eating unclean. So when he come back, he's going to catch people on the atonement eating, having sex, and eating abominations and all kind of abominations, man. This is that thing. This is going to take place on the atonement. When that last trump is blown, he said, I'm going to cut people off with the meat in their teeth. Ask Israel after they ate the quail. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 25. I'm going to wrap it up. Leviticus 25, and remember we're going to be back here tomorrow evening, and we're going to pick up the other part of this Jubilee, because it's super prophetic, right? We're going to get a little bit of it, right? No, we're not. We're going to get back to it. I ain't giving up nothing on it. I'm just going to, you know, if you want to hear it, you'll be here tomorrow. Or you'll listen to it, you'll upload the script or whatever. You'll make sure you hear it. Anyway, it says this. And you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement, ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout your land, all the land, and to all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. You see, this is that thing, man. Everybody's going to be going back home. He is freeing the world. Those that come up in the first resurrection, they're going to be kings and priests, and those that's left is going to be delivered. This is that. That's what the Jubilee and the Pentecost represent, liberty, freedom, set free. And now we belong to God for all eternity, man. We're going to dwell with him, right? Watch this. It says, and then also it says, a Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap. Oh, it's another Sabbath. So what? It's another Sabbath. Why? Because the Pentecost is a Sabbath. So you get another year off. Makes sense to me. Well, fall right in line, because that would be 7 times 7, and that's a Sabbath. So it will fall right in line. Perfect. Man, but hold up. That's 2 years you don't have to work. Oh, we are not listening. And in year of Jubilee, you get 2 years off, people. You get 2 years off. You get the Sabbath off, and then you get the first day off. You get the Sunday off, which is the Pentecost. The Pentecost is Sunday. That always follow the Sabbath day. You're going to get 2 whole years every 50 years. You know what? People, if we can live to be 50, those of us that was born and the Jubilee year, it happened to live to be 50 and see that Jubilee again, you get 2 whole years off. Those of us that's born in the midst of that time, you get 2 years off. 2 years. You get the Sabbath day, and then you get the Pentecost. See that? We're not listening. We're not listening. We're not thankful. We're not really gracious. We never been gracious, else we never gave this up. Our forefathers, I don't even want to talk about them dudes. They don't forget about it. I'm up here, I'm dealing with this madness in this world, all this nonsense and this COVID and all this, all because of them? Please. Nah, it's all about me getting into this kingdom and my fam. That's it. It says, for the Jubilee shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of it. See, there it is. In the year of Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. There it is. You're going home. You're going to be, this is where he's going to bring the captivity back to the people. He's going to break the captive. Everybody's going to be set free. Isaiah 14. And we're going to wrap it up here. I'm wrapping up here, and we're going to get back to this. God willing, we live tomorrow evening. And Isaiah 14, and it says this. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and yet will choose Israel, and set them in their own land, whatever it is. And the strangers shall be joined with them, there they are. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Well, some are really cleaving unto us now. Some. It says, but the whole world is going to cleave on us at that time, man. After going through all this madness that they know the world put upon us, please. It says this, and the people shall take them and bring them in their own place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captive, those who were captive were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. Excuse me. This is not those that are servants. That's them that were left. They didn't know God. They get to work for you. But you don't get this. You don't get the shackle slavery. You get the work slavery, so to say, like now. They get paid. And they'll be getting a whole year off from work. They'll get every Sabbath off. They'll get all the feast days off. Oh, yeah. It won't be like they did it. It'll be like he wanted. So we ain't going to be able to do the things that they did because they going to be like, man, y'all, like, man, when they realize how we really blew the mission, it's almost going to be an embarrassment, you know, to even know that we gave this up. Because they'd be like, man, how sweet it is, right? But even to be a slave and a servant, I ain't going to say slave, a servant at this point. And it shall come to pass, in that day, the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrows. See, it's a day of rest. And he said, well, it's also the atonement. And it said, from thy fear, from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve, liberty. And it says this, and thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, say, how the oppressors cease, the golden city cease. The Lord had broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the ruler. He that smote the people in wrath with continual stroke. He ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hinder. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet and in great fortune to me. So the whole earth's just been delivered. He set the whole earth free. That's why he said, the stranger with you. They're going to be free too. Those that's left, they're going to be like singing and thanking God. Oh, my God, it's going to be beautiful, man. So, yeah, this is what the Jubilee is bringing, man. It's going to bring all this up. So, look, we're going to pause here. We're going to pause here. And, yeah, we just want to hold up here, man, because this is what, you know, God Israel allows to get to this point. So what we're going to do is, we're going to ask everybody to, if you can, you know, we'll be back here tomorrow, and we can finish this precept up. Amen? So here's the thing. As far as those things concerned, man, we got to pay attention to the commandment. And I also want to say I want to thank all of you for your prayers and all your well wishing for my family, my sister. You know, she's going to be with the ancient now, and I'm going to miss her. And I just want to thank God for allowing me to have her for the time that he gave her to us and share her with us. Amen. So thank you, Father, for my sister Anise Moore, and thank you for all the saints that prayed for her life. In Jesus' name, thank you for your righteous judgment and giving her rest from all the sorrows that she had faced in this life and from the ones that's coming. Amen. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of Living Waters, read your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.